Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We welcome you heartily to the study of God's precious Word, the blessed theme that we are considering, the coming again of our Savior from above. We are raising some definite questions and seeking to answer them from the precious Word of God in relation to the coming again of our beloved Lord. My beloved, may we emphasize that the Word of God particularly declares the coming of the Lord Jesus again is a blessed reality. There are many great truths in the Word of God. There are many great truths, particularly in the New Testament teachings for our present age. But may I state to you very frankly, one of the greatest doctrines in the Word of God that is so predominant and perhaps predominates more than any other doctrine as far as the quantity of it being mentioned is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power and great glory to be the ruler and the king of all the earth when he shall appear the second time. Oh, beloved, we would emphasize Jesus is coming again. And we would particularly challenge our listeners, whether believers, whether unbelievers, is your heart waiting and looking, expecting and longing for that coming Savior? Now the question that we raise today for our consideration is this, and we trust you'll listen very carefully. When the Lord Jesus comes, or just before he comes for his saints, what will be the moral and the spiritual condition of the world, and even the church, just before that coming of our Lord for his own? We have found from John chapter 14 and verse 3, he's coming for his own. We have found from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's coming for his church. We have noted it and emphasized it from the Word of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes, first of all, he will come for his redeemed people. Now we raise the question, what will be the moral and the spiritual condition of the world as well as the church just before his coming? 'Tis very important for us to read the Word of God, to learn from its pages, and from those pages know what God, by his Spirit, describes concerning the moral and the spiritual conditions which prevail upon the earth preceding the coming of our blessed Lord. There are many great evangelical programs being carried on today, for which we thank God for all the reality that they may have. But there are many that are being carried on which seem to profess their ambition is to convert the whole world. And also, there are strong efforts being attempted to even stop the tide of the moral evil in this world, certainly of worthy consideration. But may I raise this question from the light of the Word of God? Is it possible, will it ever be possible, that man can successfully overcome these increasing evidences of moral corruption, which are publicly appearing in exceeding great manifestation today? Now, what does God's Word teach us about this? Now listen very carefully. We quote from 2 Timothy chapter 3. We raise the question, will wickedness increase, or will it decrease before the Lord comes? Now what is God's answer from his Word? We quote the words of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We commend, of chapter 3 rather, commending the reading of the whole portion from verse 1 through 13. But I wish particularly only to take from that section two verses. One, verse 1, and the other, verse 13. Now may I read what Paul by the Holy Spirit writes in verse 1? He declares, this know, meaning you can be sure of it, this know also, that in the last days perilous or difficult times shall come. Then let me go right down to verse 13, the end of the section. Where The close of this section of which Paul speaks regarding the evil of the last days of Christianity. He now declares, but evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. My beloved friend, does not this scripture declare the solemn fact that corruption of even the Christian profession will exist before the Lord comes for his own? Paul in this body of scripture is describing the end days of Christianity in his profession. But consider it with me very briefly. Let me look at it from another angle in scripture, taking some of the words from the prophet Isaiah. Please note in chapter 60 of the prophecy of Isaiah, and may I point out, if you've ever read the last chapters of Isaiah, from chapter 60 and on to the end, they greatly manifest the coming glory of the kingdom of our Lord when he shall reign, and Israel's resurrection and restoration. But just before he comes in chapter 60 and verse 2, listen to these words, referring to the moral conditions of the whole world, of all the nations, before the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus ever begins. Here are the words written by the prophet Isaiah. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 2. Oh, listen carefully to the meaning of these words. The Gentile nations will be in a state of complete ignorance of God, while truth and righteousness will be trampled upon. Such will be the gross moral and spiritual darkness, an abandonment of God, an abandonment of his word. Men will say in that day, who will show us any good? And when the time comes for the Lord to appear and manifest his kingdom upon and all over the earth, true righteousness will have been banished from the earth. Let me repeat the words of Paul again. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. My beloved, please let me state, don't hesitate to agree with the word of God. The scriptures very definitely state the world will never get better morally and spiritually before the Lord comes, but rather become worse. But let's go further, if you please. Let me read the words of the Apostle Jude in verse 17 and 18 of his epistle. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles or by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now if you read the Epistle of Jude carefully through, you will note that in burning words and striking metaphors, Jude sketches the corruption of Christendom from even the beginning of evil when it began to appear in the church. And he covers it until its destruction, as he describes the personal coming again of the Lord in power when he comes with his saints to execute judgment. My beloved, let me please state, I know it's not a pleasant message, and there's many that will disagree with me, but I'm telling you what the Word of God teaches, not what I think. That before the end days of Christianity, and before the coming of our Lord, even the Christian profession will be one of complete apostasy. May I solemnly state that today there is an amazing and a decided return in the world, and even in Christian nations so-called, there is a decided return to the ancient philosophy of heathenism, as well as the subverting of Christianity itself. For in the past century and the present century, the Lord has sent forth many missionaries to preach the gospel in heathen lands as never before. But now, many of those heathen countries are attempting, and some of them are successfully driving out the Christian missionaries today, and sending their own missionaries of their heathen doctrines. Even in our own nation today, You have heathen philosophies and teachings that are spreading and converting men and women in our country to heathen gods, and their evil practices are growing. Please, my beloved friend, let us wake up to the reality of the departure and the declension from the Word of God that is spreading so greatly. Now, Jude the Apostle, we would like to mention very briefly and thoroughly. He tells there are seven things for the Christian to do in the midst of such conditions. First of all, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Verse 20, meaning build yourself up in the knowledge of the Word of God. Second, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, the Word of God and prayer. They are the sustaining provision to give us the strength we need amidst the such conditions today. Third, keep yourselves in the love of God. Verse 21, meaning enjoy the love of God in your own heart and in your own life. Fourth, be looking for the Lord to come, that mercy of His blessed return, His personal coming again. Fifth, have compassion upon those around that are willing to listen to your message of the gospel. Sixth, seek to bring the lost to Christ. Save them from the burnings of hell. Snatch them from the fire. And seventh, be very careful not to defile your own Christian testimony while you're passing through this corrupt scene. Oh, my beloved fellow believer, may God help you and me to take the exhortations of Jude to heart. And thank God for the closing word in verse 24, when Jude declares that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now, my beloved radio listener, I'm not giving you a very pleasant account of the end days of Christianity. The Word of God doesn't do it. But, oh, my beloved listener, how is it with your soul? There is more danger of going to hell today than perhaps ever before in this present age of the church. Are you saved? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed the gospel which bids you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus and His atoning death upon Calvary to be saved by grace through faith alone, not of works? God grant that you will, if you have not. Father, bless and sanctify Thy truth to the saving of some precious souls and to the warning of the believers concerning our responsibility in such evil days. Amen.